The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. The Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert, and he remained in the desert for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, my friends, it is. It's no surprise to you that we have today this account from the gospel as our gospel reading. We have the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, but like me, you might be surprised at the terse nature of the account. Mark devotes, half a verse to the fact that Jesus is in the wilderness fasting for 40 days. I just want to take a stop before we get going and say, you know, how long does it take us to feel the effect of the Lenten fast? For me, it's at like 7 a.m. Ash Wednesday morning. You know, it's like I'm up like 2 hours and I'm struggling. Where's that bacon, Lord? I didn't have the meat temptation this year, but you know how it is. It's like you give something up for Lent, and then that thing is like everywhere. Like, where did this come from? Like, I just saw a wrapper of Peeps blowing behind the trailer here, and I thought, man, I like Peeps. They're pretty disgusting, but you know, it's just sugar in the end, so. It's like there's temptation. It's gonna get you. It's gonna come out and get you. So I want to say, like, if that's our experience with Lent and fasting, what do we think Jesus's time in the desert was like? 40 days. 40 days. What was in the desert? What was in the desert for Jesus? Nothing. There's nothing there. And that's part of the point. Part of the point. That reminds me that in order to properly frame our Lenten experience, we need something that comes before this passage in Mark's gospel. And right before this passage is Jesus' baptism by John in the Jordan. And the descent of the Holy Spirit, his anointing by God to be Israel's Messiah. And then we hear the same Spirit that anointed him drove him out into the desert. What do we get in Jesus' baptism but his being claimed by God, his Father, to live out his life at the head of his chosen people as the Messiah, as God's beloved Son? What were the words that we heard, or that Jesus heard, that we hear recounted in the gospel? You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. You are my dear, dear child. I delight in you. I delight in you. Without those words from his heavenly Father, Jesus doesn't have enough to sustain 2 seconds of a fast, let alone 40 days. But because he's affirmed to the bone by God his Father, he can endure any temptation. He knows who he is. He knows whose he is. This is the same for us, my friends. As we set foot on our Lenten journey, as we seek to fight off, you know, every temptation of the day that would lead us away from God and His purposes, as we hold back, you know, every encroachment, every claim on our life that the world has in order to live out our purpose, our calling before God, we have to hear those words for ourselves. When I say those words, some of you can tell it. This is where it's good. Like, you're a good way away from me, you know. But sometimes I say those words, I just cry. I can't help it, because I hear those words for myself. I need to hear those words, and those words overcome a lot. They overcome, you know, all the competing allegiances around us, right? All the, like, what are the messages that we hear in our world? People don't even have to say them anymore. We're living it culturally. Like, you know what? Your self-worth depends on how much money you make. Your self-worth depends on how many friends you have. Your self-worth depends on whatever, right? Your ability to satisfy yourself. Our self-worth is from God, our Father. So you have to make these words our own. I'm going to encourage you to do that. You have to hear them, and you have to allow them to work their way to your heart. You have to live out of them. But first, you have to allow them to penetrate you. Yeah, right down to the bone. And if you don't have to hear it in my voice. You do have to hear it in my voice because I'm preaching, but you have to hear it in your voice or in someone. You can imagine someone else's voice. But it's God the Father who's speaking the words to you. You are my dear, dear child. I delight in you. You are my dear, dear child. I delight in you. Okay. This is the starting point. That's the starting point. And then what does Jesus do? He heads out into the desert. He's thrust by the Spirit out into the desert, because he has to relive Israel's 40 years in the wilderness. And where they failed and fell short, Jesus would succeed. But what is that success? Except living out his life as beloved son of God. Israel was called God's beloved son. But they could never live up to it. Jesus is God's beloved son. And he lives up to it from the beginning all the way through to the end. God, his Father, is the very center and source of his existence. Everything is from God, his Father. And he has to return everything to God, his Father. He has to, do you hear this? He receives everything he is and everything he has from God, his Father. Where do you receive everything you are and everything you have? My friends, this is a struggle of hearts, okay? We have to dig deep here. We're inclined to believe that we've earned what we have. We believe in the almighty dollar. Am I right? Where do you receive everything you have and everything you are? It's from God, our Father. In his care, he is providing for you. In his providential care, he cares for you. And who is owed everything you have and everything you are? But God, your Father. At whose altar is the sacrifice of your life made? Is it at God's, or is it at something else? Does God get all of our time, attention, energy, discipline, focus, everything? Or do we go first to some other altar and sacrifice to some other God in order to get what we want? Can I say, my friends, we do this. We do this naturally. I'm going to be woken up by this wind. It's been a little time since I've had this distraction, but it's all coming back to me. Yes, we do this, my friends. We do this naturally. And that's why we have to make our way out into the desert with Jesus. Because in the desert, where there is nothing to satisfy, where there's no other source to provide for me, I have to look only to God the Father. That's all I have. And then in my heart, as the temptations of the world, as the temptations of self-seeking and self-concern bubble up within me, I have to resist and reject all of those voices to live for the voice of God, my loving Father. Can I say, look, try spending just a few hours in silence, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. And you know what? What I just said, it's impossible for us. It's impossible for us to do that. Except that Jesus, as God's anointed king, goes out at the head of his people. And my friends, we're coming in tow. We're right behind him. We live out this Lenten fast with Jesus at our head. Jesus who has triumphed over the devil. Jesus who has triumphed over our every enemy to live out our lives in praise of God and in service to his world. That's the pattern of our existence, my friends. But all too often, it gets crowded out by everything else. And that's why we need this desert experience. And then what do we hear, right? Jesus, 40 days in the wilderness, and boom, he's shot out like a cannon. Repent and believe in the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. Okay, let me say that. I'm going to shift gears. You guys get that. I'm going to shift gears. I don't know if you're ready to embrace the wilderness, if you're ready to embrace Lent, practice of Lent. I didn't feel too ready to take it. I didn't want it. I'm already in the desert, Lord. Why do I need another? And I feel it. You guys can feel it. You're already in the desert. But Jesus is there. Everything that Jesus was going to face down the rest of his life, those 3 years of struggle and triumph, turning back the rule of sin and death, being overcome, right, in the end, sacrificing, giving himself to us, for us, giving himself to God for us. Everything we see in the rest of his life starts in the desert. And my friends, whether we're now journeying into the desert or we're already in the desert, Jesus is coming out for us. We're in the midst of trial and tribulation, right? We're struggling. Jesus faced those struggles. He faced them down. He's already taken on those challenges. He's already overcome those obstacles. And now he wants to do it in us. We don't do it by our own power, my friends. We do it by Jesus' power at work in us and working through us. And he wants only the very best for us. And that's why he comes out today to find us in the desert, to lead us home to God, our mighty Father, and to free us from the rule of sin and death, that we could live our lives of prayer and of love, bringing God's love to life, no matter where he sends us.